Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Two commands have been directed to the believers, Muslims, people of Iman. One is taqwa. Taqwa refers to restraint. And the second, join the ranks of the truthful. So, one is self-restraint. Self-restraint against things that are not liked by Allah Ta'ala. So restrain. And the second is join the ranks of the truthful. Kunu ma'as-sadiqin. So we understand that this is the plan of the world. This is the design of the world. That there will be a lot of things that will be tempting. When they're going to be tempting, so you have to restrain. If there was nothing that is going to be tempting, would there have been a need to restrain? So the need to restrain is because the whole world is going to be tempting you. Overall, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has explained that there'll be two obstructions on the way. One is temptation and the other is anger. So in any facet of your life, you're going to come across these two. This thing is tempting you or this thing is annoying you. Tempting you, annoying you. Tempting you or annoying you. And now in both these areas, you have to hold yourself. If you give in to the temptation, then you're going to cause problems for yourself. This life and the next life. Right? In the next life, we all know. But in this life also, if you give in to temptation, you're going to bring problems to you. Just an example, right, for you to understand. One person came here. Originally from Cape Province, right? So he complained that now he's about 30 years of age. He was 17, 18, so a little bit of a free living person. Now that freedom of his, he got stuck to a girl, right? Colored Christian girl, he got stuck up. When you're in that age, then the temptation is very high. The temptation is high, then you will do things and you will think later. Right? Like, this is one temptation. There are other temptations as well. This is one temptation. But you cannot deny they are not other temptations. Right? So the whole world tempts you. You saw that we all grew up together now. He's driving a Ferrari, right? Or some other car you're driving. 10 million rand job. I can't afford it. But I'm getting tempted. So now, in the temptation, what are you going to do? How are you going to hold yourself? One is to give in to the temptation. So now, he's got a Ferrari, I must have a Ferrari. Now, I don't have that money, so I will get that money from some wrong ways, banks, facility, etc. I got the money. I bought the car. Right? So I gave in to my temptation. Now, when I gave in to my temptation, now what a price I have to pay for that. For years, I'll be locked up. I'll be locked up. I can't move. Why? I gave in to my temptation. So this temptation, actually, it locks you up. That's why this interest system is called bond. It binds you up. Bonded. I can't do anything. House is bonded. Property is bonded. Your shop is bonded. Everything is bonded. So you're in chains. So in this world, it binds you up. In the next world, you can imagine what can be the consequence. So this person fell in love with this girl here. It is age of 17, 18. Kuffar, they have no religion to bind them. So they free, they earn pleasure. All their religion is pleasure. Nothing but pleasure, right? And our religion is not pleasure. We use the pleasure, but the pleasure is not the goal. And this people make the pleasure the goal. So when the pleasure is the goal now, do it. Girls think things the same, this boy is thinking the same. Before he knew it, and this girl fell pregnant. Now when she delivered the child, he's telling me his story. She brought the police, the social worker, and the media. She brought police, social worker, and the media. I know your bank balance, because in love, everything is shared. We share what we are, what work we're doing, what money we got, what wealth we got. We share everything. All information is shared. And when the information is shared, so I know all your banking details, I know everything. So now she says, this child is delivered. So you make sure that you pay 25,000 rands every month for this child. If you fail, there's a police here, there's a social worker here, there's a media here. He's coming from a respectable family of nobility. He knows what he's done, and she knows what they have done. And if the media gets to know about it, the whole world is going to get to know. The family, the brothers, parents, everybody's going to know about it. Now what's going to happen to me? So he says, I had to just cough out. For years I'm living like this. Now I'm already 30. I got the child, about 17, 18. She's pure Christian. I can see her dressing. My daughter, it was my blood. My daughter, I can see her going to church, doing all the stupid things, haram dressing, all that. But I just have to tolerate. But you see, gave in to temptation, and then what's the result? That Ferrari, you gave in to temptation, and then what's the consequence? For years, now you have to pay for it. So, Allah is saying for your own good. The hereafter, obvious, but for your own good, by hold your temptation. We know, I've created you, I know how the temptation will have the better over you, but for your own good, hold on, restrain. So sometimes the trial that is before you is temptation, and sometimes the trial that is before you is anger, right? So something didn't happen according to how you wanted it. So you got disturbed. Why didn't they do it like how I wanted it? So you felt upset. So temptation is natural, and getting disturbed also is natural. Can you say it's unnatural? It's natural. Right? To get tempted is natural, and to get disturbed also is natural. Right? You don't say it's unnatural. If you leave a nice plate of some good food here, you get tempted. You just leave it after iftar, I'll have it. Don't you feel tempted? You feel tempted, right? Or someone did something that was not agreeable to you, you feel disturbed, you feel uneasy, you don't feel nice about it. Then you think of ways how to get at him, right? He did something that was displeasing. So now what you want to do? You get back at him, put him in his place, cut him to size. So you'll use a whole host of, a whole machinery to come against him. It'll start off with malice. See what he did. So you have ill feelings for him. Right? Then this will escalate. When it escalates, now you're going to make ghibat about him. See what he did. Then it won't stop there. Then you're going to be gossiping, carrying tales about the person, right? It won't stop there. Then you can't just say he did this wrong. You'll have to exaggerate. So you're going to be slandering, right? See the sins escalating one after the other. But where it came from? It came from anger. Right? Then goes beyond that. Then you want to become verbal. You want to become verbal. You want to say mouthful. from one thing, from the heart, the tongue, so you give him a mouthful, put him in his place, I'll fix him. So either you may become you may become verbal, use derogatory language, use all type of foul languages, F and whatever else, you want to give him that way. Still, your anger is not appeased. If you're not appeased, then you become physical. You hurt him. But all the things, I ask you, do they happen or don't they happen? They must happen. So you've got these two problems, temptation and anger. It doesn't stop there, then I must take him to the cleaners. Now what I'll do? Now, after I've done all this thing here now, behind him or in his presence, I'll try and push him down. Try and taunt him, ridicule him, poke fun at him, somehow smash him down. See what did he do to me now? I need to do this, get back at him. In his presence or in his absence. So how many commands of Allah Ta'ala are being violated? لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Then you're going to call him names, right? He did this. So all these things happen. You get a little bit annoyed, this is what happens. Don't call the person by names. Can't you go? You get off the handle and you say things what you're not supposed to be saying. And I remember once I was coming out of a masjid. So there was a new Muslim, accepted Islam, and some old Muslim had a problem with this new Muslim. So he had to taunt him, but now you taunt him in a different way. How are you going to taunt him? He says, "See, you." Mr. Ismail now, not Mr. Pillai now. But is that taunting or not taunting? Taunting the person. Ridiculing the person, you're taunting the person, smashing him down. But in different ways you could be doing it. But now, how many wrongs are emanating from the tongue? See that? But anger, you see the anger, you can't control the anger. So in this whole process, in this whole exercise, in the Khanqa, they are disciplining you to do what? Disciplining you to control temptation and control your anger. Anger management and temptation management. You see the world, the way it's running, is becoming more and more materialistic. Everything material. So as though they believe in material. As though they have ruled off spiritualism. So they believe in material. So material, material says, must enjoy. Use and enjoy. Why? Because there is no such a thing like akhirat, hereafter, so must enjoy. So it's a calculated process for you to forget the hereafter, forget the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and enjoy yourself. So then, to enjoy, they had to get the woman out of the home into the workplace. Because you're not going to enjoy if you are qualified and she is qualified. You can bring in easily 50,000 and she can also bring the same. Now, she's getting 100 now. Why must we just suffer with 50? Go for 100. See, this is how they're going to think. If you can bring in 50, then she can also bring 50. Because now you're thinking this material. See, you left out spiritualism, left out the tasawwuf, left out deen. So anger, a temptation, became the imam. Who's ruling your life? Is your anger or your temptation? Temptation is by giving 100, why settle for 50? Temptation is telling you. Now she's pushed out of the house into the workplace. When she came to the workplace, now show me, where does it happen? That woman that is in the workplace is not harassed. Can you show me any place? Woman pulled out of the house, brought into the workplace, by or to or. Someone was telling me the news some days back. I don't mention the country, but very like first world country. In a parliament session, even those women parliamentarians, they are being harassed. I'm not mentioning, it's a first world country. First world country, women parliamentary, they are being harassed. So can you tell me that this temptation won't have the better over you. See, materialism and then temptation. When you talk about discipline and etiquette, right? You talk about discipline and etiquette, then people talk about Japan. See how disciplined, how refined, how honest, you know, they commit people, right? So they talk about it. Whether they are refined or not refined, Allah Pak knows. But this is how people talk. So I was listening to the news. Now, Japan is, they say, we are in a crisis. What happened? So we got the super fast trains moving at about 350 k's an hour. Now we got a complaint from our woman passengers because there is no separate seating. The woman passengers are complaining that they're being harassed. And this is escalating all the time. This one is complaining, that one is complaining, that one is complaining. Now they're seriously thinking of having a screen in between men and women. Or they're going to screen it off, but in the workplace, what's going to happen? Let's say the screen, this transit, the traveling is a transit until you come to the workplace. Workplace, what's going to happen there? Can you have a screen there also? So when you move away from Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then temptation becomes your imam, or anger becomes the imam. And then they got no limits. Anger got no limits to this. Destroy, kill, ridicule the person, smash him down, shoot him, hurt him in his presence, in his absence, but somehow, for the anger. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, when he taught me how to make zikr, you know? So he says, there are two forces in every man. In Arabic, Quwwat al-Shahwani and Quwwat al-Ghadabiyya. Quwwat al-Shahwiyya and Quwwat al-Ghadabiyya. One is temptation and one is anger. One is temptation, one is anger. And both, has, you know, everything has got a source, right? The source is around the navel. See? Everything has got a source, right? So where's the source? The source is the navel, right? Like you say, there is a source for taste. So where is the source? The tongue, isn't it? That's the source. So similarly, now, these two problems that you have, there is a source. There's a source for it. Where's the source? Around the navel. So he says, now when you're going to make zikr, then you're going to make zikr, la ilaha illallah, right? So when you sing La ilaha, so La is written like this, see? Right? As though it's a double sword, right? Two swords. See that line of La, right? The two lines of La. Imagine them to be swords. So the two swords are knocking against these two evils. What? Shahwiyah and Ghadabiyah. Shahwiya and Ghadabiya. So La, you're knocking against that. You're knocking against La. And he said, Ilah, you knocked it and you threw it. You knocked it and you threw it. La, Ilah. Knocked it and you threw it. Now, according to the prescribed zikr of Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, if someone were to do this 200 times, then can you see now that his Shahwat and his Ghadabiya, Ghadab, has the better of him. With that frame of mind, yeah, I'm knocking this out. But these are main obstacles. Talk to, from an illiterate person, to an educated person, academic, Maulana, Hafiz Saab, Buzurug, nobody, anybody. But I ask you, is this the trial or not? Trial. Quwwat al-Ghazabiyya, Quwwat al-Shahwiyya. Either the Shahwat gets the better over you, or the ghussa gets a bit over you. So the shahwat gets a bit over you, yes, I showed you the wrong. You'll go and do illicit activity. You'll spend beyond your means, right? Create problems for yourself. Shahwat gets a bit over you. You can't control your health. Saw some cold drink. That's what someone was telling me. That one friend of his used to have 8 liters of coke daily. Coke factory. 8 liters of coke every day. Passed away now, about 45-50. But now you see the problem that you bring upon yourself. His food used to be 8 liters of coke and 4 or 5 slabs of chocolate. That's daily food. But you see that shahwat, the temptation, and temptation, how it can destroy you. Temptation and how it can destroy you. So the temptation wants immediate gratification. I was just looking in India, the India tarikh, you know, history. So in Delhi, around the time, now 200 years ago, there was one Hakim Abdul Majid Sahib, Rahmatullahi, a pious person. And he had a practice very, 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 very busy. Very practice, very busy. So the patients will come and queue up. So he'll just do this. And he's got his workers, right? Khamira Kauzuban, Hakim Arshad Wala, write down. Majun Fala, write it down. Right? So those students, they write down. He just feels the pulse and he dictates. So one English, they talk of 150, 200 years ago, in this time of the English, right? One English doctor specialized, he said, "Ye kya tamasha hai? What is this drama they're doing here?" He said, "Read this, see, Hakim Arshad Wala. It's nonsense. He's just deceiving them, right? He's having them on." So perhaps he had AIDS or whatever, this one here, this doctor. Free life. You see this temptation and free life. Right? So he had it. So, but now his body was cleared of it, complete. So, but now this person here, I put him in his place. Hakim Sahib, I put him in his place. So he dressed up in a normal dressing of a normal person, and he sat in the line. When he sat in the line, so Hakim Sahib just did this. So I told his student, let's write it down. This is the medication that he needs. So when Hakim Sahib wrote, his student wrote out the script, so he burst out in laughter. "Why are you talking about me? I am a specialist, a doctor, and I checked myself, I've got no problems. Where are you coming up with that? I need this medication or that." So Hakim Sahib got upset. Now Hakim Sahib gave his whole life story. See, 20 years ago you had AIDS, you had problems. Right? And you took some medication and got sorted out. Hakim Sahib gave his whole life story. He started off now. He shared that he started the Hakim Sahib. When he started him off, so he's asking for trouble. 20 years ago you had this problem and it was destructive. You could have died. You'd use the right medication and cleared up, right? But now the symptoms of that same thing is coming up again. It hasn't yet surfaced. But it is coming up. Very, very, very discreetly it's coming up. Right? And it will take another 15 days to surface. It's already there in the system, but it's only going to surface. It'll become noticeable in 15 days. So now, this doctor, now this, talk of nonsense here. Just to put the Hakim Sahib in his place, he said, "All right, let the 15 days pass, nothing will happen. Because I don't feel anything." 15 days pass, and true to the word of the Hakim, that science really surfaced. Now his cry came back to the line. Hakim Sahib said, "No, nothing doing. I'm very, very, very disappointed with you. Not doing it." Hakim Sahib said, "This is going to be destructive." I told him, "It's going to resurface, and this will be the cause of your death." And true, 15 days it surfaced, and he tried this, that, the thing worked. In 1 month's time, he died. See this temptation. You get that instant gratification, you got it. But remember, there is Allah Ta'ala there. There's nothing that is more instantaneous than Allah Ta'ala himself. Instant, you can bring it. But umlilahum, it's Allah's plan that He gives respite, gives a chance. He won't do things straight away. So what we think is that because Allah Pak doesn't do things instantly, therefore let it happen. Chalne do. Apra joya karo, we'll see about it. We don't realize that He's seeing. There's nothing more instantaneous than Allah Ta'ala. He can do it. In a second He can do it. Who can stop Him? So you see, you got these two forces running with you all the time. These two horses. Ghazab, Ghussa, and temptation. So you become the perfect person when you got control over the both. Then you've got composure. You are a person that is composed. You can understand. You can see things correctly. Otherwise, you can't even reason correctly. Very big company, multi-billion company, right? I'm showing you when that temptation got the bet over you, then you can run down the business as well. Everything. Magash doesn't work. So, there is a person working at a higher level, right? Now, every now and then, in big companies, every now and then, there is an audit, checking up what's going on. So, as they are doing the audit after a year or 2 years, they found that this girl here was right at the bottom. And suddenly she's just escalated to this position here. Rafe daraja. Pumuto darjo theyo. From where she was, and she's escalated to this position. So they have to do an audit now. She's a temptation, just showing you, by showing examples, what the temptation does. So your dunya gets destroyed, akhirat gets tabah. Both. They found out that this person that is in the senior position, he fell in love with Sonia. And when he fell in love now, so he had to pay. So the easy way is to just escalate her, let the company pay. Why must he pay? Let the company pay. So he brought it, escalated her, and let the company pay. The company realized that she's a bekar, fazul kisam ki, doesn't do anything. How she escalated to this position? Both, he got fired, she got retrenched. Both. See that? Khasirat dunya. Both. So this thing goes. Dunya gets lost, embarrassment comes. And you don't know when that embarrassment comes. You may think, no, about a year ago, channeling, you see, the cases that come to me now, I'm telling you, right? So that you know how to hold yourself. See, you're not big now, so your children also will become big. So they mustn't feel that they can do what they want. Man got about two children, right? Two children, one boy, one girl, all healthy, nice, strong. So now, see now how shaitan gets you. Very wealthy, very, very wealthy, they got the whole chain of shops and all they got. So when you got all this wealth, then you got some pleasure, leisure, free time. So he had a fish tank. Started off on a fish tank. See where this is, how innocently it works out. Now the fish tank had one of its kind, about 100,000 rand, but he wanted to upgrade that fish tank. So he put into the WhatsApp or something advertising that he got this thing here. So one white girl, she offered to purchase this thing. Now this person, like a usyar, he went to deliver the fish tank to this girl personally. Right. When he went to deliver that thing, one thing led to the other. And before he knew it, this girl was mothering his child. This man got a business, flourishing business, caught up here. She got to know his details, and she somehow seduced him now. Now family got to know about it. Okay, this is what happened. It's a family business. He's got so much of rights, but then it's a family business. So many stores they got. You see how the things hook. So they're putting pressure on they leave this thing out. So he came to me. Now he's telling me. See how innocently he's telling his story. He said, "Mona, but don't I have the right to have a second wife?" when he's in the mess now, so now how he don't have the right to have a second wife. Right? Anyway, it carried on. So they're putting pressure now, if I leave this thing here. Now, at the second month, his wife, these children, packed up and they gone to the father's place. No visitation rights. Now it came to the crunch. It came to the crunch, now he came again. Hey, Moab, work it out, please. What they want? This is what they want. What you want? Say, I can't leave my children. Then separate this girl here, then move this girl away. But how can I say? Then if you say how then just tolerate everything. But if you can't, then just do what they're saying. So this girl got to know this is what they're going to do. So she put it on, what they call it, social media. Okay. Mr. So-and-so's child, look at his child. Look how lovely they look. And I'm the mother. I'm the mother, this is the child, this is the father. How nicely, the whole world got to know about it. Mr. So-and-so, and this is his child, this is the mother, this is the child, this is the father. See that? So you see this, it's not a play. But Allah is talking about this thing, it's not a play. It's going to cost you, very dearly. So temptation sometimes in wealth, sometimes in woman. In anger. I showed you. You must get disturbed and you must do something funny, right? And then it brings about problems for you. So his whole tasawuf is get this thing right. What? Anger management and temptation management. Get the two right. The whole, if you look at the tasawuf, this is the whole essence. Anger, temptation. Anger, temptation. Why it is, hold it. The moment you're gonna give expression to it, it's going to bring you disgrace here, problems in the hereafter. Disgrace here, problems in the hereafter. Disgrace, problems. Disgrace, problems. Must happen. It's a foregone solution. It's going to happen. Because we were schooled all materially, so we were made to think material is the solution, right? Now, this thing worked, say, 60 years ago it worked, right? 60, 70s, because money was tight. Money was tight, you had to work hard. When you had to work hard, there was no time for musti, right? There was no time for musti, because you had to work hard, the whole day's work. You couldn't go and play around, this girl and that. I don't say that nobody was playing around, but isolated cases. You didn't have people doing this generally. But now, when there's money in abundance and easy money, easy work, easy money, now, then why mustn't you make masti? See that? So this is where the masti comes about. But then you have to pay for it. So that's why the Quran Sharif is saying two points. What? One is taqwa, restraint. Restrain. This thing will come all the time, restrain. Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your composure. At any given situation, don't lose your composure. No matter what happens, the world turns around, but don't lose your composure. Because you're going to lose everything. You lost your composure, everything will lose. Right? So don't give in to temptation, don't lose composure. Don't give in to temptation, don't lose composure. This is the whole secret, the mystery of life. It's the whole, like the essence of the tasawuf. You see, they give you other zikrs and all that, just to strengthen you, what? Strengthen these two aspects. So they prescribe zikrs or do the zikr or that. Why? So that you get the strength to restrain. You get the strength to maintain composure. See? To restrain and to maintain composure. So you won't have malice. You won't get into jealousy, fighting, disputing, arguing. Right? Whole host of problems. So you won't do these things. Don't think now I'm aged and I'm beyond that. You think that I'm aged, I'm beyond anger, don't think that. But 2 months ago there was a case, 80 years old man who was a great grandfather, right? I think double great or great. Great I know, but not. I don't know if it's double great. Great grandfather, 8 years old, his wife is 79 and he issued a 3 divorce. Talaq. See his anger. Anger management and temptation. Anger, temptation. That's going to be with you all the time. So you have to hold it. So that's why the Quran says, starts off, ittaqullah, restrain. It's a two-point plan. Now for this restraining, understand, that the world has been created with opposites. Min kulli shayin khalaqna zawjain. If there is the positive, there's going to be a negative. It's going to be cold, it's going to be hot. Right? There's going to be a man, there's going to be a woman. Right? There's going to be a success, there's going to be a failure. There's going to be health, there's going to be sickness. So this is a plan, the design of this world. There must be opposites. Right? But now understand that you are weak. When you are weak, then you need to be guarded. What you need to be? Guarded. Now, how do you understand that you need to be guarded and how you must be guarded? See, anything that is weak needs protection. Plant, a sapling, does it need a nursery or not? You got zafran trees, right? Zafran. Understand? So zafran tree. Kashmir, so was there with us, Kashmir? So they have to have security of the trees, or the whole orchard, they have to have security. The saffron is so expensive, like gold, I think, it's so expensive. So you got to get this opposite, what? Must get that opposite. So the plan is, the plan of the world is when that life is weak, then that life needs to be protected. If it's a tree, it needs a nursery. Right? Child is weak, first needs an incubator, isn't it? Doesn't need it. Child growing up, it needs the protection of the parents, right? That's why in Arabic, this small little children, etc., are called daya, what? Perishable items. Because if they are unattended, what happens? They perish. They perish, right? So anything that is weak needs protection. A tree needs a protection. The child needs protection, right? A hen, and as it hatches its chicks, can you just leave it in the wild? Can you leave it? What happened? To hawk control. It was five that they use it. So no matter what the animal is, but the thing needs protection. Bird, animal, sea life, anything needs protection. Why it needs protection? Because it's weak. So understand, by this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Your iman is weak, protect it. Give it the nursery, give it the surrounding, give it the protection. You can't just leave it like that. You see the plan of Allah Ta'ala. So when the thing is weak, it needs the protection. So understand, accept, acknowledge that you are weak. When you're weak, then you need the protection. Ittaqullah. Protect that iman. Give it the necessary guard and the protection, the ambiance, the surrounding, where it can. You're not going to do it, then as great as the iman is, it's going to get affected. It needs the protection. For that thing to fruit, for that thing to show results, it needs to, in its, all right, look at it, look again, right? The examples that will stick in your mind, right? You got khajur, right? Expensive, ajwa khajur. I think ajwa may be the most expensive, or ambar, whatever. 1 kilo, what, 200 riyals, right? Expensive, that super grade, right? You got that super grade. Umber tree, for example, or umber tree, ajwa tree, or umber tree. All right. Now, you got the thing planted in Durban, for example, right? So the tree came up. Will it ever fruit? It will fruit. But the fruit, will it ever ripen? Why? Surrounding is not right. Right? It will, perhaps the tree will come up, perhaps the fruit will come out. But will it ripen? Never ripen. Why? Surrounding. That thing needs about 45 to 50 degrees temperature for the thing to ripen. And Durban, maybe saying moves about 30, 35. Now and then on freak day, maybe you get 40 degrees, right? But that's not a routine. That thing needs about 2.5 months intense heat, 45, 50 degrees. So now your iman requires that type of heat for that thing to strengthen. That khajur, that umber, that ajwa needed that heat. Your iman needs that heat, that warmth, for that thing to strengthen. So, you don't apply that heat. How the iman is going to strengthen? Where is it going to get the protection from? See? So you understand that you need to restrain. But the restraining will be possible when you got the right surrounding. You got the conducive environment, right? Like in a plant, you're saying the same thing. Animal, you're saying the same thing. Bird, you're saying the same thing. Fish, you're saying the same thing. Everything you're saying works around the same law. Does it work on that law or not? Just to get the child, you know, it's an incubator. They don't mind paying $1 million, $2 million. Just say someone was here. So he got about $2 million. He got twins, both children are in the incubator. So the whole account will cost him about $2 million. But just for the physical protection, he doesn't mind outlaying the $2 million. Right? So when the physical self is so important, the spiritual self, how much more important? You spend so much for the protection of the physical, then the imani self, the spiritual self, that decides on the hereafter, decides on the future. Then I ask, if the physical was so important, is the spiritual not important? Are you supposed to be spending, guarding, protecting, investing in that or not? See, what has happened now is that material, overwhelming material. The material must be right. But the material, when you analyze the material, right, you spend so much, this food, that holiday, that comfort, and that luxury, and that medication, you spend so much. Millions you spend. Right? So much you spend. But 1-2 days into the grave, look at the person now. You don't want to see him. I saw bodies that were decomposed, right? I saw, they asked me to make ghusl or that. So 2 days, the brother doesn't want to look at his brother's face. Decomposed, stench, I know how difficult it was, I know. Just 2 days, father don't look at his. So you see, he spends so much on the physical, but the ruh is gone. When the ruh is gone, that was the spiritual self. Then what happened to the physical self? You don't want to even be near there. What do you need to do? You need to don't see it. See that. So what you spent on it, and in 2 days, what's the value? Just 2 days. Because what I understood, that was a long weekend, and they saw the person on a Saturday or something, and Monday morning, they discovered this. So it must be 2 days. He must have died 2 days. And 2 days, in the heat, house is all closed, heat, and this is what happened to the person. See? So you spend so much, and this is what you got. Right? So when you spend so much on the physical self, on the material, then what are you supposed to be doing for the spiritual, for the imani, for the thing that is, that sojourn, that is, you know, it's ever, like, eternal? What are you supposed to be doing? So then, ittaqullah, kunu ma'as-sadiqin. The environment, the surrounding, the company, get a conducive, friendly, imani environment. What? Friendly, imani environment. So when I look at life now, I say, boy, you're not at ease until you didn't build up an imani friendly environment, no matter where you're living. But you don't have an imani friendly, conducive environment, boy, you have to keep working. You could spend $2 million, $5 million for that, for the protection of your child. Then for the protection of his iman, don't you need an imani, strong, conducive, friendly environment? Do you need all that? That tree needed, that khajur tree needed that environment, that warmth, at that degree for that thing to produce. So for your iman to be productive, to be secure, don't you need an environment? Ask you, in all fairness. Then what is supposed to be done? What is supposed to be doing to create that environment? Are you doing it? Ask yourself, are you doing that? To create an imani, conducive, friendly, encouraging, warm imani environment, are you doing it? Are we doing it? Think to yourself. Repeat, let your think about it. Hazrat Shaykh used to say, by meri baat ko suno, aur phir tum apne hujre mein ja kar ke socho. You listen to it, my words, and then go into your cubicles and then think what I'm talking about. And then now, after you have thought, then think of the plan of action. Now, what does it require for me to create an imani, friendly, conducive, warm, imani, dini environment? What must I do? Plan it. Discuss it with your wife. Whoever else, discuss it. What should we do? Because in a few days, the child is going to grow up. If he's 3 today, if he's 10 today, tomorrow he'll be 20. And I didn't do anything for this. So what's going to happen to the child afterwards? What's going to happen? All my investment, whatever I did, this is the return I'm getting. So the right thing, the sensible thing is to think about it first, understand, and then think within your means, what can you do? Just to talk about jihad, like it's like jumping from A, right, from grade 1 to university in one day. Does it happen? Yes, work towards it. So these are all the steps to working towards it. Environment, talk about it, make an environment, make it work. Then one day you'll come to this level as well. But straight from this point here, you're going to go shoot right there, what's going to happen? You're going to create problems, complications for yourself and for others. So the first step is make the environment. Work in the house, neighborhood, work there. Think positively, constructively, what can I do? If I can't go out in 3 days in Jamaat, I can't do this. But all right, you can't do it, but don't you need to create an environment, a surrounding? What can you do? How can you cooperate? How can you strengthen? So now, that person is not self-centered. See, once you have fathered the child, right, you not can't be self-centered, not my pleasure. Now, what's going to be the future of this child? For the future of the child, what must I do? So then you'll see that this person is not self-centered. He's thinking about his child, iman, welfare, well-being. So now, as he's aging up, and he's changing, his child is coming up of age. He's aged already, right? And the child is coming 20 now. So he's about 40, 45. Child become 20. He is breathing a fresh, warm, nice, conducive Islamic environment. Everything is encouraging. He will learn parda, hijab, iman, honesty, righteousness, virtue. Haven't you paved that way for the child? Haven't you made that way for the child? And isn't this something for you to invest in? Hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adabin aleem. Allah waqtu fi nasib.